This is Fresh Air. The 40-year-old Virgin won a directing award at this year's Sundance Film Festival for first-time filmmaker Radha Blank, who also wrote and starred in the movie. The story, which began as a web series, was inspired by Blank's own experience as a playwright and rapper in Harlem. Lena Waithe was one of the producers of the film, which opens in some theaters this week and will then stream on Netflix. Our critic Justin Chang has a review.
While the American film industry still has a long way to go in nurturing movies made by women and people of color, the Sundance Film Festival has long provided an important platform for marginalized voices. This is the festival that recently introduced us to pictures like The Farewell from Lulu Wang and Clemency from Chinonye Achukwu. 8 years ago, Ava DuVernay premiered her film Middle of Nowhere at Sundance and became the first black woman in the festival's history to win Best Director for an American drama. This year, Radha Blank became the second black woman to earn that prize for her first feature, The 40-Year-Old Virgin. It was a worthy winner, not just because it's a terrific movie, but also because it's specifically about the challenges of making meaningful, personal art from an underrepresented perspective. Blank's artistry has many facets. She has a sharp ear for comic dialogue and an exquisite eye, having shot this movie on gorgeous black-and-white 35mm film. She also gives a very fine performance as a fictionalized version of herself, also named Radha Blank, a struggling artist from Harlem who was hailed years earlier as a promising playwright. Now just a few months shy of her 40th birthday, she has little to show for that promise, besides a play that she's been working on for ages. She pays the bills by teaching drama at a local high school and spends a lot of time commiserating with her talent agent and longtime buddy, Archie, played by Korean-American actor Peter Kim in a sly riff on the gay best friend trope. Archie urges Radha to seize any and every opportunity, even if it may require some compromise. At a party one night, he steers her toward Jay Whitman, a powerful theater producer played with delicious smarminess by Tony Award winner Reed Birney. Whitman has read Radha's play, and he has some feedback on the story, which follows a black couple in a fast-gentrifying Harlem.
That's it?
No. It's about gentrification. And how this young couple struggles to you didn't like it.
The idea is powerful.
But?
It rang a little inauthentic.
Okay. Well, thank you for that note. I appreciate it.
There's something there.
Okay.
I just wish you hadn't shied away from darkness. I mean, if you're going to call it Harlem Ave, you got to give me Harlem Ave.
I should write in a teen mother shooting up in an alley.
No.
No.
Yeah, no, you're missing my point. Okay. I'm talking about gentrification.
Mm.
A black Harlem shifting under a white hipster land grab.
Mm.
But your play never goes there. I ask myself, did a black person really write this? No, look, sweetheart.
Yes.
There's definitely a voice under all those words.
All those words.
But the writing needs work. The good news is, I still need a writer for my Harriet Tubman musical.
After some tussling, Whitman does eventually agree to produce Radha's play. But he demands numerous changes, including the introduction of a white co-lead, in order to show the face of gentrification itself, and of course, draw a larger audience. Blank clearly delights in skewering the tone-deaf condescension of white men who fancy themselves cultural gatekeepers. But one of the reasons the 40-year-old Virgin is so disarming is that Blank saves the toughest criticism for herself. She lets us see her character grapple with deep insecurities about her talent, her calling, and her future. Sometimes with tears, but more often with a well-timed, self-deprecating jab. At one point, Radha decides to abandon theater and reinvent herself as a rapper, seizing upon a long-ago passion that she hopes will tie her more closely to a strong community of black artists. And so begins a wide-ranging tour of New York's hip-hop scene, from a boxing ring in the Bronx, where female rappers go ferociously head-to-head, to a Brooklyn club where Radha does some recordings with a gruff but sensitive DJ played by Oswin Benjamin. Radha's talent in this arena is more than apparent, even if her nerves sometimes get the better of her, like when she freezes on stage in front of an audience that includes several of her high school students. If you cringe for Radha in that moment, as I did, consider it proof of how deeply Blank has secured your emotional investment in her journey. That's no small feat, considering all the crowd-pleasing underdog drama cliches the story could have stumbled into, but somehow avoids. A more obvious telling of this story might have ended with Radha discovering her true calling as a rapper, or figuring out how to put on a successful version of her play that stays true to her creative vision. But Blank seems less interested in clear resolutions than in examining how these two distinct worlds, theater and hip-hop, have shaped her complex identity as an artist. She doesn't feel entirely at home in either space, and yet her work, at its best, becomes a bold synthesis of both. As fast and funny as much of it is, the 40-year-old version also has a rich vein of melancholy. There's an elegiac quality to the black-and-white images, which might bring to mind vintage New York pictures like Manhattan, Shadows, and She's Gotta Have It, Spike Lee's equally auspicious 1986 debut. As it happens, She's Gotta Have It recently spawned a TV series for which Blank wrote a few episodes. But it would be a mistake to squeeze her into any kind of mold based on her influences. Radha Blank already has a voice that is gloriously her own, whichever version of it we hear next.
Justin Chang is the film critic for the LA Times. On tomorrow's show, the prospects for a constitutional crisis in the presidential election. Atlantic staff writer Barton Gellman says if Donald Trump claims mail-in votes are fraudulent and contests the results, Republican legislatures might then try and ignore their state's popular votes and send Trump representatives to the Electoral College. Gellman considers the possibilities in a new article. I hope you'll join us.